This is unplanned, but I'm just going to really embarrass Jesse right now. It was good to have Jesse up here, but there's another reason you should be involved in young adults if if you're not already. We should really be celebrating because Jesse and Matilda just recently got engaged. So how cool is that? Always good to see young people find their soulmate and the person they're going to spend the rest of their life with, especially at church. But we should also be celebrating today for another reason. Who's wearing red today? Anybody wearing red? There's quite a few people wearing red. Why are we wearing red? Because it's New Year. Happy New Year. Now, apparently, my pronunciation is not great, but I'm going to give it another go. If you are Cantonese, Gong Hei Fat Choi. And if you speak Mandarin, and I think this might be where it goes badly wrong, Gong Xi Fat Sai. Oh well, I got a clap, so it can't be that bad. But Happy New Year to anyone who is celebrating the Lunar New Year at the moment. And if you don't normally celebrate Lunar New Year, it doesn't matter, it's Sunday, let's celebrate anyway. And I also want to set something straight, because the last couple of weeks, Pastor Heather and Pastor Sam have preached on this amazing series, and they have said at the beginning of their talks that they don't like summer. What is wrong with them? I need to set you straight that it is not all Crossway staff who dislike summer. I love summer. I think I'm a lizard. I think I need the sun to live. And I love, 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 love summer. But we've been talking about summer because we've been talking about this series that we're doing this summer, which is called Turn Up the Temp. And it's always a little bit risky when you're in Melbourne to talk about turning up the temp, because it could have been 340 degree days in a row, but we haven't had that, so it's good. But we're not talking about turning up the sunshine, we're talking about turning up our spiritual passion. And so far, Pastor Heather spoke an amazing word about getting into God's presence, how we've got to just sit in his presence. And then Pastor Sam last week backed it up with a great sermon about prayer, that we need to have that constant, repeated prayer. And so this week, I want to finish up by adding to that presence and prayer that we need participation. If we want to increase our spiritual zeal, if we want to be turning the temp up and be on fire for Jesus, we need to get in his presence, we need to pray, but we also need to participate. Now, if you live in Melbourne, you know, but if you're online, you might not know, as I have just alluded to, that sometimes it gets incredibly, incredibly hot in Melbourne. Well, we think 40 is hot. I think most people in the world would think 40 degrees is hot. And when you've had a few days of that, then what happens is that most Melburnians will head to the beach somewhere. If you don't go to the beach, you can only go to the cinema, the mall, or drive around in your car, because those are the only places that are going to be cool enough to survive. So most people go to the beach. And one year, I took my family to the beach because it was really, really hot. And we went down to Phillip Island, and we went to Smith's Beach at Phillip Island, which some of you may know. Now, the problem with going to the beach on a hot day in Melbourne is that everyone else has gone to the beach on a hot day in Melbourne, and you cannot find anywhere to park. So we drove into the car park, and there were these two surfers, and they were just taking off their wetsuits. And I, being really clever, thought, if I wait, those guys will leave and I can have their parking spot. So I waited for a while, and then I said to the family, you go down to the beach, I'll wait for this parking spot and I'll come and find you. So the family all disappeared off. Is there anyone here who surfs? Yeah. Surfers take a long time doing anything. Surfers are the most laid back, chilled people I know. And I was sat in that car for a long time waiting for that parking spot. But I tell you what, no one else was getting it. So I parked and then I went to go down to the beach. Now I say go down to the beach because if you've ever been to Smith's Beach, you'll know that you go down a load of wooden steps. And at the top, there's a platform. So I went to the top, to this platform, and I looked at the beach because I thought, that's how I'm going to know where to go to find my family. And I looked at the beach and I thought, oh my goodness, not only is the whole of Melbourne here, the whole of Victoria is on this beach. And I could not find my family. So I thought, okay, Fiona, calm down. It's 40 degrees, you're dripping with sweat, but it's fine. Just calm down. Logic. So I went through every single family on the beach to see if I could find my family. And when I got to the end, I still hadn't found them. So I did what all good Christians do. I panicked. No, I didn't. I didn't. I prayed. I said, God, I'm going to have some help here. I didn't pray for the car spot. I'll pray for finding my family. Where are they? And God said, it's okay, I'll help you. So I'm like, yes. Okay, show me. And he said, no, go down to the beach. I said, don't be stupid, God. Go down to the beach. I've got a perfect view here. Why would I go down to the beach? And God said, go down to the beach. So I gave in and I said yes. And as I lifted my foot to take my first step, it was like a spotlight came on my family on the beach. And I knew exactly where they were. God wants us to sit in his presence. He wants to be able to talk to us. He wants to be able to encourage us. He wants to be able to challenge us. He wants to be able to fill us with his power and his love. And he wants to hear us pray to him. He wants to hear what it is that's in our hearts. He wants to hear our wants, our needs, our hopes, our desires. He wants to have that relationship with us, but he doesn't want it to end there. He needs us and wants us to take a step. He wants us to have the great privilege of being a part of his plan to save the world, his plan that all would come to know him. He wants us to participate. And if we stay in his presence, if we continue to sit there and to just bask in his amazing glory and to pray and to talk to him and to have him talk back to us, that's fantastic. But we're going to end up being hyper-spiritual. And we're also going to end up being spiritually selfish. Because if God is so amazing and so wonderful and has done all the amazing things that he has done, why would we keep it to ourselves? Why would we stay there and not take that step to participate in his plan and showing that to other people? Joyce Meyer says that we can have our heads in the clouds, but we need to have our feet on the floor. And so today I want to look at this verse, which is Romans 12, 11. And it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, Paul wrote this to the Romans, the church in Rome, and he's writing it to us as well. And what is he saying here? He's saying two things. The first thing he's saying is that we need to be passionate. We should never be lacking in zeal. And the second thing he's telling us is that we should be passionate by serving the Lord. Keep your spiritual fervor by serving the Lord. Now, I don't normally do this because I'm not a scholar, but I looked up the Greek word for fervor in this passage, and I bet my pronunciation of it is as good as my Chinese, but the word is ziontes, and it means boiling. It means turn up the temp. It means be passionate. We need to be spiritually boiling, serving the Lord. Now, as you can tell probably, it's probably very obvious just by me being up here, I am an extrovert. If you speak to me for 2 minutes, you'll find out I'm an extrovert. I find it hard to go to the supermarket on my own because there's nobody to be with. I love being with people. And sometimes people think that if you're an extrovert, it's easy to be passionate. And they think that if you're an introvert, it's not quite so easy to be passionate. Now, I am passionate about several things. I'm passionate about rugby. I'm passionate about coffee. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about the dishwasher being packed properly. But my husband is also passionate about things, and he's an introvert. He's passionate about rugby as well. And we go to see the Melbourne Rebels play. It doesn't matter if you don't understand anything about rugby, you do not need to. But we go and see the Melbourne Rebels play every week that they play at home. And I get very overtly passionate at the game. I encourage them and I tell them what they should be doing. It doesn't help. They don't win. My husband is just as passionate, but he doesn't shout quite as loudly as I do. But when they don't win, which is most weeks, he actually takes that harder than I do because he is so passionate about the rugby. So we're hoping this year, this will be a year for the Melbourne Rebels, and we tell ourselves that every year, but this year I am really hoping that this is the year. The point is, though, not that you have to be into rugby, but that Paul is telling us to be passionate, but not telling us to be loud. We don't have to be overtly passionate. What Paul is telling us here is that we shouldn't be lacking in zeal. We should be wholehearted. That's what he's telling us we need to do. And that we need to have that wholeheartedness about serving. And Jesus himself tells us that he wants us to be passionate. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. See, it's still about doing something. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And as we sit in God's presence, as we pray to him, we gain that passion. We gain that wholeheartedness. We gain that intensity that he's asking us for. But we then have to take that passion, that intensity, and that wholeheartedness to serve him. Now, when we commit our lives to Jesus, we're asking him to be two things. The first thing we're asking him to be is to be our savior. Every single one of us has done stuff that is not what God wants. Tells us in Romans 3:23, we all fall short of the glory of God. And there is a punishment that is deserved. The wages of sin are death. And Jesus saves us from that punishment. He is our Savior. He gives us that gift of eternal life. And that's what happens when we commit our lives to him. We are saved from what we deserve to get. But we don't just ask him to be our savior. We also ask him to be our Lord. And when somebody's your Lord, you serve them. When somebody's your Lord, you find out what their wants are, what their needs are, and you fulfill those wants and those needs. When somebody's your Lord, when they ask you to do something, you say yes. And this year, 2023, if we want to see ourselves on fire, if we want to see ourselves boiling zeontes for Jesus, if we want to see miracles, if we want to see our families, our friends, our colleagues come to know him, if we want to have amazing things happen this year, then this year needs to be not the year of the rabbit, but the year of yes. Now, I was saved on an Alpha course, and I do have to say, Alpha course is an amazing place if you want to know more about Jesus because you don't know who he is or you have questions, or if you have somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus and they have questions, take them to the Alpha course, and if you're here in the room today, you can sign up in the foyer for that or get more information. But I was saved on an Alpha course, and on that Alpha course, they discipled me very well. And I never knew that there was an option to come to church at a weekend, to praise and worship God, and then to go and just live a good life for the rest of the week. I didn't know that was an option. Because it's not. There isn't such an option. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, We should be serving him. And weekends or Sundays should be our time of coming together. We should be praising him. We should be thanking him and sharing stories of what he's done over the week. And we should be equipping ourselves to go back out and to serve him. But I think we've become a little bit of a mobile phone and Uber Eats generation. We just want everything in our hand or delivered to our door. Several years ago, I was in New Zealand. I used to live there. And there was an advert. And I don't even remember what the advert is for, but I remember the picture from the advert. And the picture from this advert was a spa, a hot tub. And there were people inside this hot tub, and they were having a lovely time. There was probably some beer or some wine or something, I don't know. But they were inside this hot tub, and they were having a lovely time. And this hot tub was at the top of a mountain. And there was just this glorious scenery all around them and snow. And I think sometimes that we become too comfortable. We sit comfortably in God's presence. We sit comfortably as if we're in that hot tub, enjoying ourselves, warm, comfortable, nice. But what God would like us to do is to get out, to get into that beauty that is all around us, and to feel exhilarated in that snowy landscape. And Jesus himself was not comfortable or safe, and he didn't live comfortably or safe. He hung around with people who were not safe. He hung around with prostitutes, he hung around with tax collectors, he hung around with sinners, and he feasted and he partied when everyone around was telling him that he should be fasting. He wasn't even safe when he went to the temple because he threw over the tables of the merchants in the temple, and his teachings were completely radical. How much more radical can you get than to forgive those people who have hurt you? And as his followers, we need to get out of our comfort zone, out of the safe and comfortable, out of the hot tub, and we need to start participating. And when we say yes to what he's asking us to do, we experience him. Just before Christmas, the staff were praying on a Thursday morning. You may not know, but the staff pray here at Crossway every Thursday morning. And we pray for what's happening in the life of the church. We pray for what's happening in the country, and we pray for what's happening in the world. But this one Thursday morning, we were actually praying for another staff member because they were injured. And so we were praying for healing. And as we were praying, I had this word that I knew I was supposed to give to this person. But, you know, I was like, oh, it's a bit scary. I don't think I'll share that. And we got to the end of the prayer, and we moved on to the next thing we were going to pray for, and I was like, oh, there's no time to share that word. It's okay. I don't need to share that word. But then at the end of the prayer meeting, I just really felt that I was supposed to still share the word. So I shared the word with the colleague and said, this is what God has to say to you. The next morning, I got a text message saying the prayer and the word combined had meant that he was healed. He was completely healed. When we say yes to God, we experience his power. We can also experience his love when we say yes. I remember one time I was driving down Burwood Highway, and I just really felt that I was supposed to ring a friend of mine in New Zealand. Now, this is somebody who's a friend of mine, but I hadn't been in New Zealand for a long time. I hadn't seen them for a long time. And apart from, you know, catching up occasionally on Facebook, I hadn't really spoken to them. And so I rang them, and I wasn't sure why I was ringing. And they answered, and they were like, this is random. How come you're calling me? And I said, because I really feel like God told me I was supposed to call you. And there was a bit of a silence at the end of the phone, and then, oh, my goodness. My husband just left me, and I needed to know whether God still cared. When we say yes to God, we experience his power, and we experience his love. Sometimes it's big, scary things like that, Maybe you don't think they're big and scary, but sometimes it's little tiny things that he asks us to do, but we still experience his power and his love. Like it might just be saying yes to inviting someone to Alpha or to read the Bible with them. And then they say yes, and you experience his power that's gone before you. Or it might just be saying yes to the passage that you're going to read with somebody. And that passage speaks to them directly that very day. But when you say yes, you experience God. And when you say yes, it gives you joy because you're living how you're supposed to live. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." God has things he wants us to do. And when he asks us to do them and we say yes, they're the things that he planned for us. And so we're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And that brings great joy to us when we do that. I remember going to work a few years ago before I worked here at Crossway. And at the time I was running the Alpha course here. Now Pastor Tim Heng does it and he does an amazing job. But I was running the Alpha course here. And I got to work and my colleague said, "Oh, you're running Alpha." I was like, "Yeah, I am. How do you know?" She goes, "You're not grumpy." I was like, "What?" She said, "Oh, when you're running Alpha, you're happy. And when the course isn't on, you're always grumpy." When we're doing what we're supposed to do, when we're in the right place at the right time, it brings us great joy. And it brought me joy to see our colleague healed. It brought me joy to see God showing his love to my friend. It brings me joy every time I see so many lives transformed on Alpha. And when we say yes, we're worshiping him because it puts the focus on Jesus and it takes the focus away from us. It takes the focus away from our needs and it puts the focus on what Jesus wants. When we say yes to him, it's him who gets the glory. It's not us who change people's lives. It's not us who heal. It's not us who save anybody. It's him who works through us. And Paul said this in Romans 15, verses 17 to 18. "Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I'll not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done." Paul knew that it was God that was working through him. Paul knew what his yes was to be. His yes was to take God to the Gentiles. And when he was doing that, he was worshiping God through doing what he was supposed to do. And the cumulative effect of all this, the cumulative effect of seeing God's power and experiencing his love, of worshipping him and of having such great joy through what he does, is that our faith grows. And as our faith grows, we become more spiritually zealous. And as we become more spiritually zealous, we say yes more, and then we experience him more, and we worship him more. And it's like an ever-increasing, massive spiral. And we have this growing faith for God. You know, you may have heard of a lady called Jackie Pullinger. She, a long time ago now, and I think it was in the 60s, but it might not be that far back, but I think it was. She was an English lady, and she got on a boat because she said yes to Jesus. She said, "Yes, Jesus, I'll go wherever you take me." And she bought a one-way ticket, and she got on a boat, and she said, "I will get off the boat wherever you tell me." And so Jesus told her to get off the boat in Hong Kong. So she got off the boat and she started this amazing ministry to heroin addicts in the walled city. And one of the things that she did when she was starting her ministry was that for about 6 weeks, she prayed every day in tongues. And after those 6 weeks, her ministry just exploded. And I was thinking about Jackie Pullinger the other day when I was praying, and I haven't read her book for a very, very long time. If you want to read her book, it's a great book. It's called Chasing the Dragon. I haven't read it for a very, very, very long time. But her name came up to me as I was praying. And I thought, okay, God, what are you telling me by remembering Jackie Pullinger? And I felt a sense that God was saying, pray in tongues every day. And so I've been doing that for the last few weeks. Now, I would love to stand here and say, and guess what's happened? But I don't have that story yet. But my faith has grown just by being obedient and saying yes. I'm totally expecting that something will happen. I may never, ever know what is going to happen because I have said yes. But I am expectant that something is going to happen. And I also know that it can be hard to say yes to God sometimes, because sometimes God asks you to do something that is scary, something that's challenging, and something that makes you feel incredibly vulnerable. One day I was praying and this girl's name just kept coming to me. I'm going to call in Vicky for this story. And I didn't know this girl. I knew who she was, but I didn't know her. I didn't have any relationship with her whatsoever. And so this name coming to me the whole time was a bit weird, and it was a bit scary. And it was especially scary when I realized that what I needed to do was to go to her house. Stalk her. It was really weird. It was challenging. It was scary. I was vulnerable. I had no way of preparing because I didn't know why I was going. But I went to her house and I knocked on the door. And when she opened the door, she said, oh, it's you. Come in. And we sat down and we chatted, and it turned out that her husband was in prison. She'd found out she was pregnant. She just had an abortion. Her life was a mess and she didn't know what to do. She needed God in that moment. But I tell you what, knocking on that door was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. And all of the examples I've shared with you today of me saying yes, I've actually felt like that constantly. I felt challenged, I felt scared, and I felt vulnerable. And I argue with God about saying yes quite often. I tell God that he must be silly. And I argue. And even sometimes I say no. But you know what? God is the God of the second chance, and the third, and the fourth, and again, and again, and again. And sometimes the things that I've been asked to do have been a lot bigger than the things that I've shared with you today. For example, I've moved country twice. I've changed jobs. And I haven't really always understood why God's asked me to do some things, especially when I felt I've been in a really good place and things have been going well. And then God said, no, well, I need you to move on to the next thing. I need you to step out of that comfort zone. But as well as those amazing things that we get when we say yes, that experience of him, that joy, that worship and our faith growing, when we say yes, we have to remember who it is that we're saying yes to. We're saying yes to a God who loves us. We're saying yes to a God who will work all things for the good of those who love him. We're saying yes to a God who promises to be with us even when we don't realize he is. A God who promises to work through us. And when we look at the Bible, there's so many stories of ordinary people who've said yes. People like Noah, who built an ark. Joseph, who said yes to forgiving his brothers. Rahab, who said yes to hiding the spies. David, who said yes to killing Goliath. Esther, who said yes to going into the king. Mary, who said yes to carrying Jesus. The disciples, who said yes to giving up everything to follow Jesus. And I think of countless numbers of normal, ordinary people from Crossway who've said yes and amazing things have happened. I think of people like, and this is not an exhaustive list because there's so many people, but people like Gabby, who's ministering to the gypsies in Hungary. She's a solo woman and she said yes, not just to a one-off yes, but a long-term yes. And she's seeing amazing transformations in a very difficult part of the world. What about the whole of the Alpha team, who say yes term after term after term to sitting with people and answering their questions and loving them into the kingdom of God. Pastor Heather and Lucas Packer, who say yes to starting ARC so that they could minister to foster families. Toby Baxter, who said yes to developing the coach program. And then all of the mentors who've said yes to walking alongside a mentee in the coach program and seeing their lives changed. So many ordinary people who've said yes, and God is able to do amazing things. And I want to be really clear here. We are not earning salvation. We can't earn our salvation. It's a gift that is freely given to us. And also, we shouldn't say yes because you heard a sermon on it. Whether it's a good sermon or a bad sermon, doesn't matter. You shouldn't say yes because I've told you to. We need to say yes as a response to being in God's presence, to praying to Him. Say yes to what it is that He asks you to do. What's He giving you a passion for? What's He making you angry about? What injustice in the world makes you angry and passionate? And it could be something small, or it could be something massive and life-changing. But whatever it is He's asking you, we need to take a step. We need to respond. We need to participate. Romans 12:1, the beginning of the passage from where our first verse came from. Paul says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And when we think about what Jesus has done to save us, when we think of that mercy in view of God's mercy, that He hasn't given us what we deserve, how else can we respond except for to surrender everything to Him? To serve Him with our time, with our gifts, with our money, with our emotions, with our relationships, with absolutely everything. Our plans, our needs, our ambitions, they may all have to change. Because to serve Him is to pick up our cross and to die to ourselves, to surrender completely to Him. So I want to ask you to get out of the spa and to get onto the altar. So to close, I'm going to ask you to take a step. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. I understand that with a living sacrifice, the problem is it can crawl off the altar. And so we need to constantly put ourselves back on that altar and say, "Lord, I surrender back to you." So today I'm going to ask you to take a step. I'm going to ask you to get back on the altar, to surrender everything, and just to say to Jesus that this year, 2023, is going to be the year of yes. And it's between you and Him. I don't know what He's going to ask you. But I do know that there was a word that was brought at the last service, and it was for everyone here today. And that was that this platform became a door. And as people surrendered to God, it was as if they were able to walk through this door. And as they walked through the door, they went to amazing things and amazing places. And it was a great blessing as they walked through that door. That's the word for you today. So we actually need to take a step. So if this year, 2023, you want to turn up the temp, if you want to have spiritual passion increased, if you want to fervently serve the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand right now and to surrender to Jesus. You may want to put your hands out to receive. You may want to put your hands up in surrender. You may even want to come down the front if you want to make a greater step symbolically. It's up to you. But I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, We want to give our all to you. You are so wonderful, so amazing, and you have done such amazing things for us. We cannot even grasp how wonderful the gift that you've given us of eternal life is. But Lord, right now, as we stand, we surrender all to you. Lord, we want this year to be the year where we will say yes. The year where we will walk through that door and that we will find amazing blessings. We will see miracles. We will see people come to you, know you, because we are participating in your plan for the world. As we stand, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness, that you would empower us to be able to do the things that you ask us to do. But Lord, we give it all to you because you are mighty and you are precious. And we ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.